Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports, and throwing some wrestling, too. Again, welcome to Thursday night, guys. It's rainy, thundery Thursday, June the 3rd, middle of the year, already there. A little bit of a macho man twang to that. Yeah. Gotta love the macho man. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys had a great week. It's been good weather. I don't know, the weekend was a little shitty with the weather, but I hope you had a nice Memorial Day weekend. It's hard to say nice Memorial Day weekend and a happy Memorial Day weekend when it's really what we're celebrating is the people who've given their lives for us. But, you know, we've kind of made it into a traditional backyard barbecue, family get-together, and hopefully people are celebrating the people who have given their lives so we can have those amazing things in our life. Even though your boy, sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe Biden is looking to take them all away from us, but no politics tonight, folks. We got a lot to get today. Robert, how are you doing, buddy? Can't wait for the CD. Looking forward to the new Lennon Anthony CD, Robert. Let's get it going, baby. But yeah, guys, we got a lot of sports to get to tonight. We got some music stuff to get to. It's coming back more and more. We got concerts that are being announced, and we got plenty of talk. But we're going to start off the show with a little bit of a tribute to the one and only the great Lou Gehrig. Lou, who passed away June the 2nd, I think it's 1941. But Major League Baseball finally came to their senses, and they had a day yesterday, kind of honored Lou, a little awareness for ALS. It's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. I can never say that properly. Commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. So good for Major League Baseball. I didn't like the fact that they didn't put everybody wearing the number 4 jersey. That would have been a nice touch. But take what we can get, folks. A little love for Lou, Larrapin Lou. Probably one of the best players ever to play the game. Unfortunately, taken from us way too early. We'll get into a little bit of the life of Lou. Gary did a little research. Found out some interesting tidbits. We'll get to that. We're going to talk USFL. We're going to talk about NFL. We got, let's see what else I got in my tab. We'll talk Mets, Yankees. The Edmonton Eskimos. Yep, we're going to talk a little bit about the Edmonton Eskimos. You'll ask me why later. I'll tell you why later. We're going to talk about where's my notes, man? Where'd all my notes go? Hold on a second here, Stymie. Let's see. I'm missing some. Okay, no, that's up to minutes. Where are my notes? Okay, Belichick, we'll talk Vince Neil, Kiss biopic, GNR Summer Stadium Tour, Robert Saleh is a douche, and so much more. We kick the show off right now. Again, remember, guys, June 12th, the boys from Black Sasquatch, my good friends Ted and Bub and the boys at Buzzbin at 331 Cleveland Avenue, Canton, Ohio, with So High. That's right, Black Sasquatch, So High, June 12th at the Buzzbin. On Cleveland Avenue in Canton, Ohio. So make sure you guys check out the two great bands and friends of the show. So lots to talk about, lots to do. Let's get it kicked off tonight with bringing on the one and only, the maestro himself, Jeff Joe Willie Namath Tomwinski. What's up?
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's up, Hefe? How was your week?
Another fucked up week, but what are you going to do?
Well, let's see if we can put you in a better mood. I know you weren't in exactly the best mood today, and sounds like you've had a bad week. So,
it was a weak week, man. Thank God it's over.
All right, well, it is. Are you officially off of your usual Friday, Saturday days off?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
That's good. Well, listen, it could be worse. It could be worse. That's all I can tell you.
I heard your little slip, your little jab.
Which way? How I'm offended.
I don't give a fuck if you're offended or not, man. Robert Saleh, what was that? He's a jerk off.
No, I never said that. I said he's a douche.
What is it you said?
I said he's a douche.
A douche. Okay, thank you. Whatever.
He's a douche. But I don't want to speak about it. We'll get to his douchiness.
You know why? Because you're still thinking of why.
No, I know exactly why. Right now it's about a celebration. It's about the beauty of Lou Gehrig. And I wanted to kick the show off with Lou Gehrig. Major League Baseball, Jeff, finally, for the first time in a few years, has done something right. And they gave us Lou Gehrig Day yesterday around Major League Baseball. And I didn't think it was done enough was done, But it was nice to at least be able to say June 2nd, 2021 was officially Lou Gehrig Day in Major League Baseball. Way too late.
Well, you know, you got to look at it this way. Better late than never, because
yes.
What happens now? What about Babe Ruth? What about Hank Aaron? What about Ted Williams? What about, you know, all of the old-timers, Yogi Berra, Tony Lazzari, Joe DiMaggio, you know, you keep going on and on, Hannes Wagner, all day long. But what about days for this one, days for that one? But at least, like you said, he was recognized, and I feel as though that he should have been recognized.
Oh, absolutely.
For a lot of different reasons. I think, in my estimation, and we've discussed this several times, he's definitely one of the top five, if not top player of all time. If I would have loved to have seen if he played a full career where he would have stood.
Well, you know, he did get to play till he was 36, so it wasn't like he finished playing at 29. So let's be clear. His 162 game average is amazing to me. 204 hits, 40 doubles. Average, if this is an average for a 162 game season, 12 triples and 37 home runs and 149 RBIs. I mean, that is insanity right there.
Yeah, doing all of this too. This is why I give him the nod as the best ball player of all time, Major League Baseball player, doing this with Babe Ruth on his team.
Yeah. Yeah. Murderer's Row. I mean, and Jeff, over 162 game average, he averaged 59 strikeouts for a season.
That's insane. That's like one every three games, just about, or
yeah,
a little bit more than 1.3 games, or you know what I mean?
I mean, he had years 73, 84, 69, 68, 63, 56, 38, 42. He hit 349 with 38 strikeouts. He averaged 113 walks versus 59 strikeouts. Today's day and age, you get superstars not striking 150 times.
What is Lou Gehrig, according to modern day salaries? What is Lou Gehrig getting a year?
With those numbers, if he put up those numbers today, I got to tell you, he's $40 million.
You think?
Well, I mean, they're paying some of these guys 30-plus now.
Do you think that he gets signed to a 15-year contract?
The kid from the Mets, Lindor, is a good, great shortstop and has been a really good hitter. He's getting he signed a 10-year, $341 million contract. He's batting 189.
Nice. Maybe one day he'll hit
200. Mike Trout, who I consider the best player in baseball, I believe is averaging over 120 strikeouts a year. Mike Trout's getting $35, $37 million a year.
It's insane.
What's up, Patrick? Hey, Frank Catalano, Robert. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging there. Yeah, but, you know, there's so much. You know, you got to think of it this way. Now, I think everybody's a fan of Cal Ripken. I'm not the hugest fan of Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken, over the course of his streak, played great to good to but not very good. And he got older, and the streak, I think, robbed him of maybe some extra greatness. Now he's a Hall of Famer. Nobody's taking that away. But when you look at the last few years of Lou Gehrig, Jeff, I mean, just I'll give you the last couple of years, just quick numbers. So his 33, 34, and 35 year, that's his birth years, he had 176 hits, 205 hits, 200 hits. 40, 26, and 37 doubles. 49, 30, and 49 home runs. 166, 120, 152 RBIs. Hitting 363, 329, 354. This is, you know, the guy's 33, 34, 35 years old, and he still has tremendous numbers. I'm a little off on that.
Without a doubt. But let me ask you, didn't Cal Ripken, near the end of his streak, wasn't he playing like half games and stuff like that?
I can't really say that. I know they moved him to third base. He wasn't exactly finishing every game. Lou Gehrig, there's some stories that I was reading today. He got hit in the head in a game and finished it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of things here in his streak. I'm trying to find it real quick. Okay, on April 23rd, 1933, a pitch by Washington Senators pitcher Ed Whitehill struck Gehrig in the head. Although almost knocked unconscious, he remained in the game.
And keep in mind, the only thing they wore was their baseball cap. They didn't have
exactly.
So when he got hit in the head, he got hit in the fucking head.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who just, you know, came to work, came, played every day, could have did it better. And then, listen, in his afterlife, the guy became the commissioner of parole. He was actually a member, the commissioner of parole, and would go out and try to talk to youths and you know, deal with people going on eligible for parole. This is a guy who, in the end of his life, was still, you know, at a $5,700 a year job just because he wanted to help out. And in fact, he helped one kid who later became Rocky Graziano, the middleweight champ.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. Rocky Graziano, he was one of the East Side kids, and Gehrig would spend a lot of time down there and try to talk to kids and keep them out of trouble. And one of the guys who came out and said that he helped him was Rocky Graziano, who goes by a different, who his real name is like Thomas Barbarella or something crazy. But, you know, it's such an amazing thing to look at the stats of Lou Gehrig, and then when you compare them to what the guys are doing today and the guys who are superstars, and you're telling me a guy like Lindor, who I'm not knocking, is not a good player, don't get me wrong, or Mike Trout, I think he's the best player in the game today. Their stats pale in comparison to what this guy was doing, playing every single day, traveling by train, heavy uniforms, all-day games. You know, I don't think he gets enough credit.
No, I hear you, dude. I hear you. It's to me, it's – I think that he, like I said, definitely a top five of all time, if not the greatest of all time. I mean, the guy just – the numbers he was putting up and the amount – what he did for his team, what he meant to his team.
Yeah.
And in the infancy – of Major League Baseball, so to speak. You know, baseball was less than 50 years old when he was playing. It was probably 30, 40 years old when he was playing.
Sure, probably.
Maybe not even that old. And, you know, thanks to him, and, you know, he put it on the map. He helped, you know, build a sport.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, Frank Catalano, I don't disagree. I think Roberto Clemente was a great player. I don't have the affection for him that I do for, obviously, for Lou Gehrig because he's a Yankee. But listen, I think a lot of these guys should have days, and they should be celebrated. Now, some of them, like Jackie Robinson, should be done every year. I think they're going to be doing the Lou Gehrig one every year. But I don't have a problem if, you know, four, five, six times a year they have different dates for some of these guys and celebrate. I think, Jeff, the one thing I love about some of the sports, baseball is probably the one sport that celebrates, you know, its history. You know, football only celebrates the Super Bowl era. You know, you never hear about
anything before that. Football never happened before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Patrick, you're 100% right. It seems like that in a lot of sports, not just baseball, every sport, it's all about protecting the big name players and the big money players, because if they get hurt, that's it. They're still getting paid, and it's going to hurt the team in the long run. And it's a shame that it's gotten out of hand.
But yeah.
You can't blame the players for the owners offering the money, and you can't blame the players for taking it. If, you know, my boss said to me, he'll give me $50 million a year to do my job tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
But there's got to be a reasonable expectation of earning that. Like, I'm watching right now the papers, and the Yankees played Aaron Judge in center field one game, and it was like mass hysteria. And I get it because he's got such an injury history that, you know, the last thing you want to do. But what do, Jeff? You're paying these guys big money. You know, they're your superstars. What do? Put them in bubble wrap and put them on the bench and, you know, break them out in case of an emergency only? I mean, it's, you know, at some point, these guys got to stay on the field and play baseball.
No, without a doubt, they have to stay on the field. I mean, I remember when I was into baseball, heavily into baseball when I was a kid, like everybody else, the 78 Yankees. If one of them wasn't on the field, it was for a damn good reason, you know? Now it seems as though that these guys get a day off here and there, like a lot more expected than the old timers did. And makes you wonder just how tough they are as athletes, or can they even be considered athletes at this point in time in your eyes?
We talk about it all the time, and I always say that these guys are tremendous athletes, but they're not the baseball players of past. And I still believe in that. But, you know, when you look at these guys in there, and they're all missing 30 and 40 games, and they can't play because they got oblique strains and quad injuries. I mean, looking at Stanton, and the guy can't stay on the field.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man.
You know, and again, I don't blame – see, I don't blame the players for taking the money. I don't blame the players for asking for the money. I blame the owners because we all, as fans, bitch and complain about the money these guys are making. The owners are not happy with the money the players are making, yet they keep – somebody keeps offering it. You know, if you don't offer, you know, Cano 10 years – you know, keep the Seattle Mariners, Jeff, are happy they offered Cano 10 years and $300 million and the guy barely played. I think the Mets are going to rule the Lindor deal because these deals never come and pay off. I've yet to see one that paid off. I love Gina.
Maybe A-Rod is the only one that paid off.
Maybe. And even A-Rod toward the end, you know, had a lot of problems. The first A-Rod contract, I would say, paid off. The 10-year, $250 million. The second one the Yankees gave him, I didn't understand, and I don't think it paid off. But you're right, Jeff. A-Rod was maybe one of the few that ever paid off. And even Trout, he misses games all the time. They don't make the playoffs. You know, so I don't understand the 10-year, you know, $350 million investment on a player that you just know when he gets to be 35, 36 is going to be a hindrance. And most of them well before that. Hey, Leonard Anthony.
I guess you got to think of it this way, okay? You're signing a guy for a 10-year deal when he's 25, 26 years old. Okay, so now you expect him to play till he's 35, 36 years old. So now you get any guy, use A-Rod as an example. Okay, yes, in his $250 million deal, $25 million seems like a lot the first couple of years of that deal. Okay, but if he stayed on the course and say you expected him in seven to 8 years, you expect him to like completely, you know, start to slow down and fall apart. That the last 2 years of the deal, you're like, I can't wait to get rid of him. But by year six and seven, if you're still paying him $25 million, you're assuming that the market is probably going to be $30 to $35 million, if not more, by the time that player reaches the 6 to 7 years of his deal, making that kind of money. So if you sign him to that deal, at first people are going to be like, what are you doing? That's insane. But if he's still putting up numbers and he's still playing good and he's worth his while, then you look like a genius for doing it.
I got you, but Pujols' contract was a bust. Cano's contract's been a bust. You know, I get you on your, and you're right.
These guys were also signed when they were a little bit older, too, to these deals, weren't they?
I mean, Cano was 28, I think, 29. I mean, now he's 30-something
years
old.
Why would you sign a 28, 29-year-old player to a 10-year deal? Maybe a 7-year deal?
I got you, but the problem is they're signing the deals. And so now, you listen, if you tell me in the first 3 or 4 years you got a couple World Series out of it and then you got to eat the end of the contract, I get it. But you know, Pujols didn't come near the numbers in California that he did in St. Louis.
No, he didn't. And Frank Catalano agrees with me what I said about taking the more money, which is basically what we're saying here.
Sure.
But you know, it's somewhere along the line, you got to think that I may get a savings somewhere down the line, okay? It may seem a lot that I'm paying $25 million, but I'm paying $25 million this year, but next year the highest paid player in the league is going to make $28 million. And the year after that, he's going to make $31 million. And the next thing you know, within 4 or 5 years, now your salary's down here. The league salary is over here.
I got you.
So that's the only way that you could think, you know?
Understood. And I want to get my dad on that in a second, go back to Lou Gehrig a little bit. But, you know, I would rather see them say, okay, the guy wants 10 years at $30 million. I'm going to give you $35 million, but I'm going to give you 5 years. And then after that, if you're still playing good ball, we'll talk about another contract. And I understand why the players wouldn't want to do it. But if I'm an owner, I can't give you a contract that, you know, 6, 7, 8 years in, you're right, Jeff, it may be scale lower, but you're not getting anything out of it.
Well, like you just said, if you turn around and you're getting 2 or 3 trips to the World Series of a 7-year deal, you get to the World Series 3 times before year 5. And you win 2 of those 3.
You're successful. Oh, I'm loving it. Then the contract's worth it. I'll eat the end of the contract.
And isn't it a shame that you would look at it that way on some levels? Because you're signing this guy to 7 years. You're expecting 7 years out of him.
Sure.
But maybe you're getting 5 good years.
Maybe.
And 2 years where you're like, okay, this we got to start thinking what's going to be next with this guy.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a shame that, but it is what it is. And that's the way that the sports world is.
Yeah.
Certain positions are just going to make the money, and people are going to pay so that they get the superstar.
Agreed, 100%. And again, I don't blame anybody but the owners for it. The players are doing what they're doing, getting exactly what they're supposed to try to get, the most they can get. And if there's a rogue owner out there who wants to pay it, that's up to them. But guys, Hard Rock and Sports, we're glad you're here on a Thursday night, a little bit of a stormy night out here in Monroe Township, New Jersey. So I'm glad you guys are sticking with us. I know there's a lot on tonight. You got some basketball. You got the Islanders. I think the Islanders are playing tonight. Game three of their series against the Boston Bruins. They're all tied up at one. Unfortunately, the Knicks are out. We'll talk about that. But we're talking to Lou Gehrig right now. And we'll get to a lot of other stuff tonight as we continue right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Jeff, Tom. And all of you right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. No, go do what you got to do. That's up. Oh, I mean, if you want to push the limits, that's completely up to you. But if I see a streak as you're running, I'm going to have to log you off. We have some fun here behind the scenes of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Let's get my dad on. Let's get his take on not only Lou Gehrig and Lou Gehrig Day, but Major League Baseball a little bit. Yankees, they've been inconsistent. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
I'm listening to you about Lou Gehrig. I found out some things which I didn't know, that the reason why they used Lou Gehrig and gave him a day, that they don't know, they still don't know anything about it. They know the same thing now that they did when he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying to raise awareness for ALS.
Awareness,
yes.
From it. And you couldn't get nobody better than Gehrig. And it's a shame because he was a great, great ball player. Probably because, like Jeff said, he played with Ruth. He didn't get the that he should have got. But he still was
considered
one of the best ball players. And compared to today, I got to tell you, Tommy, I swear to you, I don't know how I watch baseball anymore.
Yeah.
I have never seen such. I mean, I worked, we all played for coaches, and my coach used to say, you know, if you get thrown out or you do something stupid because you're pushing the limit, I understand it. But when you get thrown out or something and because of stupidity, my God.
Yeah,
I know. It's like watching Little League. Little League, Baby League, where they hit off the tee.
Yeah, I'm watching Sanchez this week. I mean, he had about four different base running blunders. You know, and I can't figure this out. Now, I know that Higashioka is not hitting exactly, tearing the cover off the ball. But if I'm a Yankee pitcher, I want him behind the plate. I watched Sanchez the other night, and the biggest sin for me, and I've said this a million times on the show, Jeff, my biggest sin, if you're a ball player, is laziness. But especially as a catcher. As a catcher, you're involved in every play. You have to hustle. Blocking pitches is throwing your body at it. And this guy is the worst catcher I have seen in a long time. I mean, he makes Mike Piazza look like Johnny Bench. And I, for the life of me, Dad, neither one of the Yankee catchers are hitting. I at least would play Higashioka so you get some defense out there.
Well, did you see the play he did? He opened up with a double. They had first and second, okay? Mm-hmm. And the ball was hit in front of him to the shortstop. And he's running to the base, the third base. And then the other jerk behind him, Torres, starts running to... Now, what you do is if you're going to watch this idiot make a mistake, at least go to... He gets halfway down, he stops, turns around, and runs back to first. And Sanchez gets thrown out by third by a country mile.
Yep.
And you say
terrible. Yourself,
what is wrong with you? And then they get picked off bases. It's like they don't know anything about baseball.
No,
they really don't. It's like here's a bat. Go play baseball.
Yeah, I've been debating it. I want to reach out to a couple of friends that I know who teach baseball at the lower levels, and I want to see how they're teaching today and how it's being affected by what the kids are seeing on the thing. But two questions: that first of all, Frank Catalano is on. He's asking, who's the best player you have ever seen?
Oh God, the bad. Geez, that's so. I have my favorite, Mickey Mantle.
I got to forget favorites.
But if I had,
who's the one? Yeah, go ahead.
It had to be Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson was the best player.
Frank Robinson. Yeah, I would say so. So you remember you went to? I took you to a couple of games with Robinson when Frank.
Yes.
What's his name? Fernandez hit the 3-1 homer. He had to be. I mean, he won MVP in both leagues. Where'd you ever see that?
Yeah, no. Listen,
he had a bad attitude.
You put the guy's numbers up. I never saw him other than film. So it's hard, you know, people talk about him and Henry Aaron. Of course, they throw in Mickey.
Take nothing away from Mantle. Mantle was just, man, if Robinson played in New York, he would have been much greater thought of. There were a lot of great ball players. Richie Allen was a great ball player, but he had a piss poor attitude. But I'd have to say, if you ask me that I've seen, I'd have to say Frank Robinson.
Okay. Frank, I hope that answers your question. And Leonard, we talked about the Baez play last week with the Cubs and the Pirates, Jeff. I mean, that's just poor fundamentals. I mean, listen.
I don't understand that.
First off, I think it's just to look it up. I wonder if, Patrick, if you looked it up, I always thought that the runner running back, you know, cannot run back toward home plate. Not that it matters, because with two outs, all the first base had to do was step on first. The run could have scored 10 minutes before that. It wouldn't have mattered, no matter what happens. But yet, the minute he threw the ball to the catcher, now the whole play changes. It's one of the worst fundamentals I have ever seen, and it's just indicative of baseball today, guys. Jeff, I've never seen it so much. I'd say it so bad.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you.
Dad, one more question from Frank. He apologizes, but I love the questions, Frank, so I'm going to keep it to my dad. He said, what did you think of Gil Hodges, and should Gil Hodges be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I thought so, without a doubt. Without a doubt. He was a no, forget about him being a manager of the Mets. And I think without him, they never would have won. But I think just as a ball player, he was a fantastic first baseman. I mean, and that is one of the positions that I would say that the Dodgers had over the Yankees was first base. Every other position was, I think, between Berra and Richardson and Kubek and the outfield, that was all Yankees. But Hodges just didn't get in. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know, you know. I never saw anything bad, but he was a great ball player. And I think he should have been in. I think he still should be put in.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think as time goes on, it's harder and harder for that era to get people in because the writers from that era are gone. You know, most of the fans
they don't
from that
know
era,
him.
You know, yeah, so people just don't know Gil Hodges other than him as the Mets manager. I can tell you that I probably have seen very little video ever of Gil Hodges as a player. So I couldn't have, I could look at his stats, but to me, Jeff and I talk about all the time, I don't vote on players I've never seen to get into the Hall of Fame. If I watch the guy play at least part of his career, I feel like I can make that assertion. I can, you know, get a comment on it. Jeff, do you feel the same way?
No, not really, dude. It's hard for me to say that because then you would be cutting yourself off from so many different players. I mean, then we wouldn't be talking about Lou Gehrig right now if that was the case because neither one of us was alive to see him.
No, agreed. So, no, I agree with that, but I can look at Lou Gehrig's numbers and say, no doubt in my mind, he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, is it easier to say this? How about this?
Yeah.
In 30 years, is anybody going to be talking about Bucky Dent and he belongs in the Hall of Fame?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So something like that, a player that may be on the cusp.
Correct.
And I'm not saying Bucky Dent is. Don't get me wrong, because I don't think he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. Yeah. But if you get a player that is like, well, I don't know, maybe if he had two more good years, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's somebody that you have to watch to see what he did. But some of these other players, their numbers just speak for themselves.
Leonard Anthony's on in. Frank, my dad will be happy to hear that, you know, about your dad. And I'm glad you guys check in with us because it's a lot of fun having everybody here talking baseball. But, you know, guys, here's the thing for me. I look at these numbers for Lou Gehrig, and then I kind of compare them to some of the guys from his era. But then I look at today's players, and they're paying these guys, you know, all this money. And you know what? I can deal with a lot of the stuff but the game has turned into a strikeout fest. You know, the fundamentals are gone. People don't know how to hit situational hit. Defense is bad. They can't stay
because
on the field.
No sense. Yeah. Situational hitting anymore.
No,
it's not what the crowd wants to see. Baseball has definitely turned itself around to be a more crowd friendly game. All right, they don't care about you and what you're looking for in fundamentals because it doesn't make them money. Nobody gives a shit about the guy that bunted in a run last night and won a game because there was a close play at the plate. But tell me that Judge hit a 579-foot home run last night, and everybody will be buying the paper or looking it up on YouTube. Nobody wants to see that.
No, I
agree. And it's a shame. Because I understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong.
Jeff, I agree, but they're not even – right, but who's watching – at this point, you're getting all the clickbait kids who are tuning into SportsCenter to watch the five home runs that were hit last night. You know
– isn't that more – think about what you're saying. Isn't that more exciting – than watching some guy push a ball down the line to move a guy 90 feet.
But again, who's watching baseball? Let's be honest, Dad. You're watching, I'm watching. People of my generation, maybe a little younger, your generation, you're watching. The kids today who, Jeff, you're right, they're placating to, they're not watching full baseball games. They're only watching highlights and, you know.
I understand all of that, but they're buying stuff and they're creating money.
I got gotcha. You.
Let me ask you something. Where was the last Yankee jersey that you bought?
2 years ago, the Aaron Judge.
Right. 2 years ago. Okay. So now there's a kid that bought an Aaron Judge jersey and one of those, you know, digital camouflage hats and, you know, all of this other shit that they buy all year long because Judge hit another home run. Okay. And maybe he just says, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, Judge, man, Aaron Judge. But maybe he ends up watching throughout the year 10 minutes of baseball.
Yeah.
Because he watches SportsCenter. Or he goes on YouTube and he's like, oh, man, look at the shit that this guy fucking hit. You know, nobody cares. And I'm not...
No, I got it.
Anything, but nobody cares about this. All right, the guy had a sacrifice bunt.
But the
guy hit the ball 15 feet and ran, moved the guy over 90 feet. Who cares?
No, I get it. But, you know, Dad, There is such a thing. It's unwatchable. I mean, I try to watch every night the Yankees. I throw the Mets on. I watch the Mets when the ground pitches. I like watching the Yankees when Gerrit Cole pitches. That other than that, it's tough to watch.
What it is today, it's a different type of baseball. It's what do you call it? It's like just they would rather use. There's no such. I mean, I'm watching a Yankee game today. They got men on. They got two men on base. They got the whole left side of the infield, and the whole right side is empty. All you got to do is just aim it. You got to at least a single, maybe a double. They won't do it because they'd rather you strike out 200 times.
Yeah.
You'll never see any records broken. I don't care who it is. Home runs, base hits, 20 game. You're lucky you get a 10-game winner.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I got to hope is that somewhere along the line, the pendulum turns and it goes back to old-time baseball. And it's not even old baseball. We're talking about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Baseball today, who's the guy from the Dodgers? That big guy that they finally got rid of him. He used to lick the baseball.
A Puig?
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that he got a base hit. He went to second. The guy caught the ball or whatever the hell it was. And he ran. He didn't know enough to step on second base. He ran around the base. He's coming, and they're yelling at him to touch the base because it doesn't matter. And he didn't. Yep. He was too stupid because all they know is I want to hit that ball 500 feet. I want to hit it. It doesn't matter if you hit it 301 or if it's 500. If it's a home run, it's a home run.
Yeah, Listen, I love to watch the moonshots. I have no problem with that. In the course of the game, a ball gets hit and somebody's, you know, hitting a rocket. I think it's fun to watch, but not in place of, you know, the one of those every 200 at bats. You know, in the meantime, I got to see 75 strikeouts. It's boring baseball. It is the depressing part, guys. This isn't going to change overnight. You know, that's why I want to get somebody on who's teaching baseball now. But the young kids, you know, the 8-year-olds, you know, to the high school kids, are being taught the same way. It's the same with football. These kids are being taught you know, to swing from the heels. They're not being taught all these fundamentals that you need to have or you should know. And it'll take a generation for this to turn around, Jeff, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, no, it's a shame, Tom. It's a shame. But unfortunately, the world is changing, mm-hmm. and the world is changing because of the cell phone and everything that you can see, and nobody wants to sit
yeah.
and watch an entire baseball game on a cell phone, and they go to stadiums, and yeah, you know, it's a novelty. Nobody, you don't get the real fan that wants to go and buys season tickets,
mm-hmm.
I bet, because they're too much money.
No,
so, you know, you get a guy that may go a handful of games a year, and then, you know, he buys a couple of hot dogs, a baseball, and a new jersey for himself, and that's it.
Yeah, Jeff, Tom here, hanging out with my dad, talking Lou Gehrig and baseball. And, Patrick, you got the right idea. And this year, the balls are dead, and guys are still striking out because they're still swinging from their heels because they're trying to drive the ball even farther to get it out because they're not realizing that they can't. The ball's a little more dead. And there's something to it. And Leonard, I'd love to know, are the kids at that level at East Shore Little League, are they being taught the proper way to play the game, or are the fathers, the cause, the root cause of all of this? So these are a lot of questions that I would have. And listen, unfortunately, I love the game of baseball. It's near and dear to my heart, and I'll always rue the fact that the game is not played the right way anymore. The fundamentals, the respect for the game, is no longer there, guys. And that, that's probably the biggest part for me. I watched the other day this kid, Tatis, hit a monster home run, and he stood at home plate just watching it, and nobody had a problem with it.
No.
And
he would have did that years ago. Gibson would have put the ball in his ear. The next time, Don Drysdale would have made him eat the ball. He'd have never did that. Today it's just because you know what? Nobody stays with a team. You don't stay with a team because next year I might be playing with you. I mean, it's like rent a player today. I have to win, rent a player. That's what they are today. They will. I mean, you got half the Yankees ain't hitting 200. I'm looking at this ball game today. Half of them are not hitting 200. How the hell do you pay a guy that kind of money? But all right, let me go.
Pops. Enjoy. I'll catch you over the weekend.
I'll talk to you over the weekend, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dad. That's my pops. He checks in every Thursday night with us. Glad to have him still around. Glad to have him still on the show with us. And he checks in. They're talking, the scary part, guys, is you look up and guys are routinely 0 for 17, 1 for 20-something. And it's not like you can put him on the bench because the guy on the bench is the same thing. So, it's ridiculous. And, Patrick, one of these days you got to agree to be our rules guru. You got to come on the show when there's rules like that, for football, any of them. I know your sports. We need you to be our rules guy where you come on and you break it down for us. Because I don't understand why that's – I know in softball, if I'm not mistaken, you can't run back toward home plate. But Major League Baseball allows it. For what reason? I don't understand why you would be allowed to go retreat from first base. It makes no sense. So you're going to have to explain that to me. But you need to be part of the show that way, Patrick. So let me know if you're ever interested.
Yeah, it would be cool if he comes on, man. He has a lot of knowledge, Patrick.
Yeah, listen, the guy's a Hall of Fame umpire. So, Hall of Fame ASA umpire. So
yeah, that would be cool.
Absolutely. And he was a hell of a football referee, too. So, I know that it'd be great to have him come on and explain rules to us when there are controversies.
Why was he a great referee, Tom? Did he tell you that you had a nice ass when you're wearing those tight pants?
You're really going to go there. You're really going to degrade...
I'm putting it out there. I want to know what was said on the field of play.
Patrick knew how to control a football game. He called the. He knows that you didn't call penalties on every play, and the man knew how to run a game. That's how I can tell you, my man Patrick G. Lombardo ran a football game, and as I gave him some shit, he'll be the first one probably to tell you that I was a bit of a dick. But. Thanks, Patrick. So again, Jeff and I talking here, Lou Gehrig. But the sum of the Lou Gehrig thing is this: the man put up numbers throughout a career, was in the shadow of Babe Ruth, right, Jeff?
How many home runs did he hit? Was it 593 or was it 493?
493.
Just man, wow. If there was one number, one set of numbers that you could want to see him improve upon, I mean, not that there's much that he could improve upon, but I think he would have been looked at as an even more complete player if he had hit the number 500 for home runs.
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, if you would, that was the magic number back then. So I kind of agree with you. It would be nice. But, you know what the number that stands out for me, that he averaged over the course of 162 games, he averaged 12 triples a season. Yet he averaged 8 stolen bases and 7 caught stealings a year. So he wasn't the fastest guy in the world, yet he wound up...
You could look at him and see that he wasn't a fast guy. The guy was built like a refrigerator.
Yeah, but listen, just to finish up the thing, listen, Lou Gehrig, born in New York City. I believe it was in the Bronx, if I'm not mistaken, Yorkville section of Manhattan, actually. June 19, 1903, passed away June 2nd, 1941, in his house in Riverdale. By the way, his house a few years ago was up for sale for $300,000. It was basically in the same exact condition, beaten the shit up, that it was when he died.
Really?
Yeah, I found a new story online. They were trying to buy it, but I think the town or New York City wanted to make an historic landmark, but the person who lived in it wouldn't do it. If it was up for sale, I don't know. It was crazy stuff. But
let me tell you something real quick about city landmarks. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a few houses at my job that are considered landmarks for whatever reason. Okay, if that is the last thing that you want to see happen to a house, to have it become a landmark, because pretty much when they say, okay, it's a landmark, that's it. They don't do anything to the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame. And they might as well just let it fall into disrepair. You're better off selling that house to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And let Major League Baseball do something with it.
Yes. No, Leonard, let me explain, Leonard. BaseballReference.com takes the guy's stats for a season and then puts them in an average based on 162 games so that you can compare different eras together. So yes, I know he only played, well, probably wasn't even 154 some of those years.
I think it was a .148.
Yeah, but Baseball Reference takes the stats and so they'll take his 2,721 hits and base it on 162 games, what the average would be. So yeah, I know he didn't play 162 games, but that's how Baseball Reference kind of takes it and makes everybody's, year kind of, you can compare it. But let me run down some things on it real quick.
Real quick, Tom, before you go too far past that point. I believe the difference for the amount of years that he played and everything, I believe the difference would have come out to about a season.
Probably.
That he missed out on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the playing between 162 and the amount of games he played. So you're talking... He pretty much missed out on one season.
Sure. So think about it, add to that.
Some of his... Isn't that bad if you think about it?
No. And then think about it. He played every single game along in those seasons. So, yeah, if you add one more season, I'm sure he gets over 500. He probably gets over 3,000 hits. He landed the seasons with less games, but they all-time players played most games. Yes, they didn't take games. You're 100% right, Patrick. So, Jeff, Lou Gehrig's a 7-time All-Star, 6-time World Series champ, 2-time 11 American League MVP. Now listen to this one. He won the Triple Crown in 1934, yet was number 5 in the MVP voting.
Jeez.
Won the Triple Crown, American League batting champ in 1934, 3-time home run champ, 31, 34, and 36. 36 near the end of his career. He is literally at the end of his career, and he was the home run champ. A 5-time American League RBI leader. Hit 4 home runs in one game on June 3rd, 1932. New York Yankee captain, 35-39 on the Monument Park. Major League Baseball All-Century Team. Major League Baseball All-Time Team. Inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame 1939 in a special election. It's safe to say, folks, and that's just baseball stats. When his stats for career, Jeff. Now, keep in mind, less games, only played till he was 36. 340 average, 2,721 hits, 493 home runs, and 1,995 runs batted in.
It would have been awesome if he was able to get that 7 more home runs, 5 more RBIs, and be part of the 5-2,000 club.
5-3,000 club, and 2,000 RBIs. He would have 3,000 hits. Oh, I'm sorry. If he would need another 300 hits. Yes, I got you. Yes, you're right. Sorry, yeah.
No, yeah, that's incredible numbers to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played till he was 36. I think that was it. Age 36. That was his last year, if I'm not mistaken.
I just noticed.
Yeah,
Leonard,
36.
Leonard said, mm-hmm. Leonard, St. Mary's School or the church they're tearing down? I hope it's not the church.
Come on, really?
Because he said St. Mary's is being torn down, not declared a landmark. I know the school is old, but the church was built in like the 1800s, I believe.
That's some piece of property. Between that and the rectory, man, it's a piece of property and a half.
That's going into Rosebank, and you see those two mm-hmm. steeples, the St. John's Lutheran Church up there and St. Mary's. You know, it would be disgusting if that's what happened. But, you know, while Mount Manrice is gone, and it's a completely different town down there now, neighborhood down there. It's a shame. But
Is Mark Carmel still around?
The church.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
Man, that's it.
Wow.
Mount Carmel is still around, but I haven't heard anything about it opening this year. It was closed last year.
Yes, I know that.
And it certainly looks like it's going to be closed this year. That's sad to see the church.
Yeah. Listen, I spent many a Sunday in that church growing up.
Well, many a Sunday allegedly in the church growing up.
You know, Jeff, if my $2 donation every week had actually made it into the pot, maybe the church would still be open.
Well, maybe, but we don't know what they were doing with that money.
Did I ever tell you what I used to do with the envelope?
Throw it out.
Well, no. I would actually find a way. So my parents would put the $2 in the envelope with your name on it. So, you know, a lot of people put just, you know, random singles in. So I would open the envelope, take the money out so that I can go to breakfast with the boys and throw the empty envelope in the thing. So it looked like the money fell out of the envelope.
Yeah.
But I had
just got to hope that they didn't tape it shut or lick it shut. Like,
never did.
You know,
the tape it shut would have killed it. The lick it shut, it never stuck. So it was always a corner.
Only that little bit of tab.
Yeah. So you got that up, got the money out, you threw it in the thing, and it just looked like the money fell out every week.
You know what was sad?
What was sad, Joe?
If you think about it, you know, the family, you were paying tuition.
Yep.
Okay. Then you were expected to go to church on Sundays, and you were expected to pay, you know, for the church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school year starts.
Yep.
And what happens? You get that cute little box of envelopes that's like this big. And they were expecting the school kids to pitch in.
Yeah.
Like, do you really need my fucking quarter, bro? Or whatever it is that I'm putting in the envelope. You know what I mean? And then there was the suggested donation.
Yes, suggested.
That you should be donating 10% of your salary or 5% of your salary to the church every year.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to write that much off on my fucking taxes now.
I got to tell you, it was good times. Good times, but it's a lot of fake church trips back in the day. Nick's was the Church of Fries. Dr. Kaltowice for some basketball.
Yeah, with Buckwheat presiding over the mass.
That's exactly right. But Hell Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night with you guys. Thanks for being part of it. Having some fun with everybody talking. One of these weeks, we've got to get like Frank and Leonard and Patrick and a bunch of people and do a little round table. Have everybody on the show and have some fun with it instead of this way. But Patrick, like I said, if you're ever interested, we'd love to have you as our official rules guy. So, and let it, Cardinals appeal. Oh, so.
Yeah, there was that too, the Cardinals appeal. That usually meant that there was a special envelope for the week. And then sometimes, this week there's a second collection. Basically it was all about money. We'll give you a little snack to hold you over till Sunday dinner, but bring money with you.
Leonard, were you a St. Mary's or a St. Joseph's guy? I was a St. Mary's guy. Jeff was a St. Joseph's guy.
Well, I was St. Mary's guy too at one point.
Well, because you were hanging out with us while going to church together.
No, I was asked to leave.
Were you really?
St. Mary's, somewhat, yeah. Yeah, it didn't.
What was that? I don't remember. That was before we.
Well, it's a long story, but I went to Blessed Sacrament over on this side of the island until Halloween of third grade.
Okay.
So then I went to St. Mary's from All Saints Day, the day after All Saints Day, to Christmas Vacation. And at that point in time, my mom was called in for a meeting, and they were like, he is to leave. He's been stricken from the parish here. And then off to St. Joseph's I went.
Wow. You made the rounds. I didn't realize you were such the rebel as a kid.
I wasn't. What the problem was is it didn't fit in with the people over there, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have been in the class ahead of mine, which would have been Tommy Bruns and Ronnie Brandt and all those guys who used to beat me up every day in State Mary's.
I would have stuck up for you.
See,
leave that kid alone.
Yes, yes.
He's a giant man. He's fucked up enough.
What's up, Matt? Joe, nice to see you guys. They punished you with Monsignor Villani, Jeff.
Yes, but yes, very true, Leonard. Remember he used to walk through the hallways with the dog? But when Monsignor Villani came into the school, you were able to hear a mouse fart. Because all the kids like the Monsignor said, holy shit, and you'd sit there like this the whole time. And one time I got in trouble and was made to stand in the corner of the classroom, and the Monsignor came in. And when he came in, he pushed the door open, and everybody's looking at me through the window, and I'm in the corner with the door shut, looking in the window like, if he sees me back here, I'm dead. I'm dead. You know, that's all there is to it. The teacher's looking over at me like, just, you know, because she would have gotten in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in this class is like looking with a smirk like, oh, you're going to get it now. And somehow I got out of that, man. Unscathed.
What are you going to do? But again, I'll tribute to Lou Gehrig and kudos to Major League Baseball for doing something right for a change. But let's fix the game, guys. It's so boring. It's such a shame. I'm hoping for a rebound. But let's see what happens. I'm still following my Yankees. I'm tortured soul. But I lived in Great Kids, went to St. Charles, an old court occasion. I'd have a beer with the priest. I had a mess. I guess everybody's got their Catholic school stories. I used to, our school had a nun who was not very nice as the principal, and she used to walk around with the bell. Do you remember that, Jeff, by any chance?
With the four fingers?
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. So she used to ring the big bell. You know, for lunch.
I had somebody too that did that in my school.
Got a couple of times with the belt to the side of the head. I got a couple of those in my day, yeah. I was pretty much a good kid, but a couple of times in eighth grade, I acted out a little bit. I remember her walking by. She had the bell in her hand, and boom, one of those. It's like, oh, talk about
wasn't
ringing your bell.
Like Sister Margaret Mary? Or
she was Sister
like
Michael. Sister Michael.
Sister Michael, that's it, yep.
Sister Michael.
Sister Michael, and usually when they were really fucked up, they had two names.
Yes.
You know, like Sister Margaret Mary of Our Lady of Pity and Good Counsel. You're like, well, where did she get all of this? She was born that way. You know? Why is she missing a finger? Because she hit some kid with the bell, and the fucking thing in the bell fucking hit her thumb and cut it off, and it fell out, and the kid's now in a nut house. You know, all this sick shit that would happen back then when you were a kid. The stories and rumors that you would hear.
You know, Joan, go back to your thing. Here's the thing that bothers me. And not that we're talking about, I don't know how we get into this, but you know what bothers me about the St. Mary's St. Joseph thing? You know, the Catholic Church is probably the wealthiest organization in the world. I think I read something once where 25 or 30% of their total wealth could solve the, what's the word I'm looking for? It basically could wipe out people being poor. Like they could take a quarter of their money, give it away, and we solved people being poor. And yet,
well, you know that ain't gonna happen.
No, I get it. But so there's two schools. You know, the whole idea of a Catholic church, a Catholic school, is to teach the religion. Whether or not people, you know, whether or not you had five kids in the school or 55 kids in the school. You know, the fact that you closed two Catholic schools in the same neighborhood and left no option in that neighborhood for kids to go to school to learn about the religion for a few dollars, what could it take? A couple hundred thousand dollars a year to keep one of those schools alive, to me, is the biggest tragedy ever. And I always said if I had the opportunity to talk to somebody from the Catholic, from the administrations, you know, I would love to have that conversation, say, how do you face God later on to say, hey, for a few dollars, I decided to not, you know, open up a school?
Because, Tom, it's not about God.
I know they it's not. It's about money. I get it. I get
it's
it.
It's all about money. And you know, St. Joseph's, they would have people in there. It was a small school.
Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's was a small school.
Sure.
I remember,
absolutely.
Too. You're 100% right. You couldn't somehow, some way turn around and I mean, they closed St. Mary's down completely, the church and the school.
Absolutely.
You couldn't keep one open one way or another.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, when they started to close these schools, they closed these schools because it was getting to the point where, well, we can't afford to do this, and people who are coming here can't afford to send their kids to this school anymore, and we can't afford to pay the teachers, and next thing you know, what's more important? You send Junior to PS-13, or you send him over to St. Joseph's so we can learn that God walked on water and changed water into wine, you know what I mean?
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not that important.
No, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. And, you know, I think what it ruins is that closeness that the neighborhoods had. Everybody, you know, congregated to the school, to the church. You know, it was a meeting place. It was a place to, you know, to see people. I mean, it just was, and it brought the community together. And I think that's, it's hurt. Yes, and I know, yes, I get it all, Joan. And, I you know, it's a shame that it's come to that. It really is. Holy Rosary is fully open, yes. And Holy Rosary.
You know what? Even though it's a business, mm-hmm. and we know it's a business,
sure.
right? And the teachers are paid low, it doesn't matter. They still want money. And if they get $50 from you, well, then they're going to be, well, how come we can't get 60? How can we get 70?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this school's getting $100 a kid. How come we can't get 110? It's a shame, but that's how it is.
Oh, man. Matt's on a roll tonight. Holy cow, ripping Farrell now. Holy cow.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, listen, I think it's a shame that the Catholic organization could not come up with enough money to keep one of the schools in that neighborhood alive. And even if there was one class or two classes or three classes in the entire school, you know, you can't tell me that you can't find a way to keep the tradition and the teaching alive. So it's, you know, I'm always down on the Catholic.
Well, let me ask you something. Look, you went to Catholic school.
Yes.
And, well, look at you now.
Yeah. I will tell you that I went to Catholic and public school.
What Catholic things do you do now?
No, I'll tell you what, Jeff. While I don't always agree with the teachings that I learned, I do believe in a higher power. I do believe in doing good for others.
Evidently, you believe in a higher power because you think the Giants stand a chance. So that
correct.
Proves that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's true because we won 4 Super Bowls. So obviously there is a higher power.
Yeah,
who's a Giant fan?
He waved his fucking hand at them as they were playing. Let the ball land on his helmet.
Yes, exactly right. God, listen, God's a Giant fan. No doubt in my mind. God is a Giant fan and a big Eli guy. But that's a whole different conversation. But... No, I'm sorry. You know, I have my beliefs. I don't believe everything I was taught. I believe, you know, there are certain things that I do believe in. I think, you know, I think I got a better education in public school, to be honest with you. I think my education was better from public school. When I got to St. Mary's, the kids were behind what I had already learned.
Well, St. Mary's
because,
was behind.
Right, because
I went from Blessed Sacrament to St. Mary's to St. Joseph's. Mm-hmm. When I left St. Mary's and went to St. Joseph's, they were already on doing multiplication. Meanwhile, we were still doing fucking addition with the little blocks in the book, blocks of five, blocks of ten,
yeah.
ones, stuff like that.
No, I do. I believe my education in PS-13 was much, well, not much better, but because we spent a lot of time of our day in St. Mary's on Catholic, you know, on the teachings on religious studies. So you didn't do as much English and math and science as you did when you went to public school. So we were behind.
No, sorry, you didn't. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, it religion is something that should be – is a choice for later on in life, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
I agree.
Kids should be taught what they need to learn as when they need to learn it and not worry about Jesus and God and everything else. That's something that if you want them to learn, you want your kid to learn, or maybe send them to CCD or something mm-hmm. of that nature.
Yeah, I did all of that.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's what I think.
All right, well, let's get back to some sports. I want to turn our attention to a little bit of football. I want to talk, let's see. Let's talk Robert Saleh, Jeff. Let's talk about the coach. You know, you have to go do your business, or you're still good? You good?
I want to hear this.
Okay. So Robert Sala, who is, if you guys couldn't pick him out of a lineup of one, is
this already? I'm disagreeing with what you're saying.
Okay. Most people,
I'm just going on record to say,
if his face was on a postage stamp, you couldn't pick him out of off the stamp. So, okay.
There we go.
So yeah, so Robert Sala, the disgraceful New York Jets coach, and I'm saying he's a disgrace. Pretty soon he's going to have a tattoo of Zach Wilson on his arm. Okay, he'll be having feet videos with his wife. He's the next Rex Ryan, a whole full bag of bullshit. And I'll tell you why, Jeff. Do you want to know why Robert Sala's full of shit? Why Robert Sala's a...
Even if I say no and that you're lying, you're going to have to say it anyway. So what's it?
I'm going to tell you why. And Lupica, what's up? Lou's going to back me up on this. Robert Sala's a douche for this reason. Robert Sala got a New Jersey state trooper to take him on a police escort to a Knicks game because he didn't want to be bothered. He thought they'd be rushed by the fans. Who could pick him out of a... If he stood in a phone booth by himself, he couldn't get recognized by Jet fans, let alone anybody else. And who the hell is out there as a Jet fan anyway? Robert Sala is a douchebag, flat out. He's the next Rex Ryan on steroids at this point. Would you like to even possibly respond to that? You couldn't possibly fix that. He got a New Jersey State trooper. The guy's under investigation now, probably going to get suspended. And Robert Sala got an escort in his big SUV with his two jerk kids and went to a Knick game. What a disgraceful human being this guy is. Disgrace.
Let me know when you're
done. I'm done. I'll give you a chance now to respond with your bullshit, your petty bullshit. Go ahead. First of all,
I just want to let you know, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
Good.
Okay? You sound just like Stephen A. when you went on your fucking tangent. Okay? I thought it was a black man I was listening to. Okay? Stephen A. all the way. Right? I don't know. You got one that you're drinking out of one thing, and then you're drinking out of a cup. I'm thinking that you're having a little something to drink. You don't know what's going on. You're getting out of hand. You may be wetting yourself as you're sitting there. I don't know.
You're still not refuting it. You're not refuting my statement. You getting to it?
No, I don't feel as though that this is a big thing.
It's huge. It's not a big thing.
Because the guy wanted to give him a little support. Like maybe the Jets are his favorite team, and he got a chance to meet Robert Sala and Sala, whatever.
Why does Robert Sala need an escort to a Jet game? Why does Robert Sala need an escort to a Jet game? Why? He hasn't even coached the game.
If it's licensed and he's a lawyer.
Not in his uniform at all. He has to have permission.
He wasn't in uniform.
Yes,
he was undercover.
No, he was not.
That was a misprint. You yourself have said several times on the show that you can't believe everything that the media feeds.
That's true.
I can't believe that. I think that you want him to be in uniform.
Here we go.
Okay, that's
Second
of all.
Yeah, here we go. Go ahead.
Second of all.
Go ahead.
Steven. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're just pissed off and upset because nobody gives a fuck about you and your fucking Giants and the New York Giants and that fucking idiot coach, fucking Judge, and that dumb fuck general manager you got, fucking Gettleman.
Here we go.
It's a shame.
Here we go.
That the people of New York City and New York State have to look upon the New York Giants as a franchise for us to watch. I got to go throw up.
Hard Rocket Sports, the ever full of shit, not soon to be out of it. Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio here every Thursday night from 7 to 9:30. Talking sports, guys. Big disappointment last night. I'll just back in the seat, so I won't go a trooper. Could have been charged.
No, gun possession.
Oh, God. I'll just say this. Your boy Robert Sala is looking like a new version of Rex Ryan. All hot air, all about me. Look at me jumping around on the sideline. Me. I'm Robert Sala. I've done absolutely nothing. Yay! Jerk off.
First of all, Matt Salitri, don't you live in Florida? Does this kid live in Florida?
Not yet. Matt's moving to Florida soon, though.
Where the fuck does this guy live?
He lives in Jersey.
Where in Jersey does he live? Tell me where he lives in Jersey, please.
Far enough away from Florham Park.
Florida, I don't care. He shouldn't. He's irrelevant. He's a Cowboys fan. So, hush. Say nothing. Just
Matt,
sit there.
Absolutely.
I've stuck up for you. You do the right thing, Matt.
Leonard, tell him, Leonard, that the guy should never have been with lights and sirens taking a so-called Rex Ryan. Look, it's all in the newspaper. Do you want me to pull the video up? Do I have to pull the video up?
Yes.
Oh, Broncos. Oh, Broncos. Broncos. Oh, my God. Frank, I love you to death. Go back to Gil Hodges, please. Frank, the Broncos, please. I love you.
This is getting out of hand. If this was wrestling, man, forget it. They'd be pouring down the ramp right now to get in the ring. This is fucking insane. We got Giants, Bills, Cowboys, Broncos. What's next?
What's next? The Jets? I mean, let's be honest. Robert Saleh's done nothing. He's getting a police escort to a Knicks game. Exactly. So why does he need a police escort?
Because
why? Why? Tell me, please.
Patrick, come on, man. Get out of here.
Thank you, Patrick. You're 100% right. They've done nothing for 50 years. The last time they won a trophy, it was made of wood. It was so old.
This fucking guy.
Wait. He's going to be better than Richie Kotite. I'm a better coach than Richie Kotite. You got to be kidding me, Matt. What is that saying?
Listen, I told you, I used to go about 20 years ago, I used to go to this store on Manor Road, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know, but Rich Kotite used to live in the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
I used to went in there one day with a Jet hat on or a Jet shirt or something. I don't know what it was. But I remember Richie Kotite, like, giving me this look.
He wanted you to recognize him?
Or slap him or whatever. And every time that I see him in the store, he'd always look and he'd be like this, like looking away, looking like, I don't know, like, you know, I know I'm not exactly the most inviting looking person, but, you know, like I was going to like start yelling at him in the store or something. You know, like I wouldn't even waste my air on him. It was like 1 in 900 is the Jets.
Oh, what a terrible coach Rich Kotite was. Holy cow. Only to be surpassed by Rex and your boy Robert Saleh, who hasn't even coached the game in his worst.
Rex. Yeah, played a D-line. I wasn't that fat back then. I would have been a cornerback.
Let me tell you something. It's a disgrace that Robert Saleh put a New Jersey State trooper in harm's way so he could get to the Knick game 5 minutes earlier when nobody, he could have ran over 7 people on the way and they went and got his license plate and they wouldn't know who he was.
Unlike Plaxico that went into a club with a loaded weapon.
I didn't talk to Plaxico. See, right away, we're going to Plaxico. You want to think about Plaxico? This is what Plaxico's got over your boy Saleh, your boy Rex. Plaxico Burress was a winner. Rex is a loser. Kotite, loser. Jet quarterbacks, losers. Yes, Kotite coached that Wagner. Kotite, up until the Jets job, it was a good offensive coordinator for the Eagles. You know, a lot of good stuff for Richie Kotite.
Except when he became a Jet.
Until he became the Jet. But that's the disease. You walk through the doors and you completely get all shungats.
Now all of a sudden he's going to start picking on the Giants.
Go find the White House back then again, Matt. When was the last time you guys, you need a roadmap to find the Super Bowl. You got to be kidding me. Another guy going to talk some crap now. Go ahead.
Well, listen, I can tell you this much.
Hey, tell Tony Romo.
Be in the fucking Super Bowl before the Giants will.
Hey, tell Tony Romo to thank Jessica Simpson for us.
Sorry, just came into all of this.
How about the Giants Ravens Super Bowl losers? Hey, listen, the Giants lost. I'm not ashamed of it. They won four. The curse of name, it's right. The curse of
they
the worst.
Four. If Scott Ward made the field goal,
here we go.
Only three.
Here we
if
go.
The other guy
if,
catch the
if,
luckiest catch
if,
in the fucking world
if,
in the history of everything. Catches it on his fucking helmet.
But it's not if, it's when he did it. Did it. Matt, who's up they won a Super Bowl 50 years ago? 50. Come on, please. It's 30. Yeah, it's Switzer won a Super Bowl. Come on, guys. I get it. 38 years ago they won a Super Bowl. Don't talk to me. Get one in this century. And then I'll talk to the Cowboy friends. Thank you, Jessica Simpson, for ruining another great Cowboy season, Tony Romo. Yeah, Tony. Nice job, Tony. Yeah, chipping, punt chipping. Go ahead, Tony, you jerk off. Another guy, wasted guy. Great, he's a great quarterback.
Ooh.
Tony Romo, he's a great quarterback. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he fucked Jessica Simpson. That's got to count for
something. Yeah, in Cancun, came back, got smoked in his house by the Giants and Eli. Nuff said. Super Bowl champs, right over, right over Big Jerry and his little house.
Stop, please.
It's true, Mike. I'll give you credit. I'll give it to you right there. Beating up on the Jets is low bar. It is, because it's too easy. It's too easy.
All right, this year, now it's a different story, man. We got a different regime in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
only one way to go.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Robert Saleh, we could go there and carry him there.
Madden comes in and wins 15 games in 4 years, and you're sitting there running your trap? Really?
Four titles. Where is it? There it is. Four of them, baby.
Better quarterback than Eli had. What are you saying? That who's got a better quarterback than Eli? Anybody's got a better quarterback than Eli. The guy was a 500 quarterback. You got to be kidding me.
Eli, they're fitting him for the jacket right now, baby. They're fitting him for the jacket.
Yeah.
Gold jacket coming on, baby. Gold jacket. Tony Romo, you got to be kidding me, Tony Romo. Oh, Mike, come on, please, Mike. I got you. Except for the big game. Was it the fumble? Dropped the snap for the kick. Going to beat the Seahawks. Oh, no, Tony dropped the ball. Oh, they're going to beat the Giants at home. Nope, Jessica Simpson. What else did Tony Romo do? Nothing. I'm sorry, nothing. He did nothing. Nothing. Thank you. That's all I can tell you. Best quarterback never to win a Super Bowl. I don't even know if he won a playoff game. Did he win a playoff game before he was done? Maybe one. So all you Cowboy guys, I'll take Eli and his career over Tony Romo any day of any week of any month. Thank you. Anyway, two playoff games, great. Eli 1 year, won four. So then I'll table the. By the way, Jeff, you hear that the USFL is coming back, the official real USFL? Yeah.
No way.
Yes, next year, spring, with I think eight of the eight original team names, both Stars, the New Jersey Generals, yeah, they're kind of. Who's horrible on TV? Oh, Romo? I hate Romo on TV. Oh, my God. How annoying.
He doesn't have the right voice to be a sportscaster.
You know, that might be it. And it's, you know what? And I think the guy's
very gravelly and rough.
He's very smart. And you know, you'll listen to him and he'll call out the plays. And, you know, but after a while, it gets annoying. You know, like, just shut up. Let the play happen. Tell me how it happened afterwards. Give me a second or two on it. But holy cow, he just don't shut up. Him and Nance, give me Summer on the Madden again, please, dear God in heaven. Gee,
yeah,
Lord, please.
You're gonna get them again.
I don't guess we're not, but I can pray. And I got to tell you, Frank Catalano, your Broncos, their first pick, very surprising they didn't go quarterback. I know they got Bridgewater, but Bridgewater's done very little. I thought he would have been a nice gap, nice stopgap to get one of those young quarterbacks up there and give it a shot. But very surprising, Frank. I don't know what you think about it. A couple weeks from now, we'll be doing our NFL preview, training camp preview right before training camps open up. So hopefully you guys will stick around for that. We got something to get along the rest of the way here. Now that we've totally blasted Robert Saleh, that jerk, Rex Ryan wannabe. So we'll move on from that. Let's see what I want to go here.
Dude, you couldn't you know what? I'm going to let you have all your fun you want. I'm not going to address it anymore. Yeah. Because then when he's a winner, come next year, you're going to turn around. You're going to change it to him.
Well, you know, I was going to skip over Rodgers. But let's bring up Rodgers. I hear it, and I pray that they do it. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to call Aaron Rodgers' bluff, and they're going to tell him, show up or don't show up. If you come, great. If you don't come, you know, Love's going to be the quarterback, and you're going to get fined, and you'll sit out the season, and your career will be over. If I am the Green Bay Packers, Jeff, I am calling Aaron Rodgers' bluff and tell him, show up or don't show up, we'll move on without you. But I wouldn't trade him. I would not trade him at all. And
I don't think they're in a rush to trade him.
It doesn't sound like it.
No.
I hear them they're in the running. They're trying. Well, there was conversations with them to try to land Julio Jones, because I think Julio Jones is going to get traded. I don't think he wants to play there. They're in major cap trouble. I just think it's a matter of where. I know the Patriots are a big landing spot. I've heard the Dolphins.
God, I hope the Patriots don't get him. I really hope the Patriots don't get him. And if they do, I hope that Bill Parcells like gets Parkinson's or something and has to retire.
I think, here's the thing. I think Julio Jones, and let's be honest, I think we've learned with Calvin Johnson, and these are great players. I'm not knocking them. But, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, guys like that, they don't have Super Bowls. I think we've learned that you don't need that player. And I don't think Julio Jones, as good as he is probably, is not the Julio Jones of a few years ago. The injuries have knocked him down a bit. If I could get him done the cheap, I would do it if I was, the Patriots, some of these other teams.
What's the cheap?
You can't give away three first rounders for him. You can't give away the store for him because
you. No, but would you give up a first rounder?
I would give him one, number one, and something else. Sure, I would do that. I would not give up two or three first rounders for the guy. I don't think you're going to get him long enough term to make it work.
I hear that. I think he's too old. A number one, maybe a mid-round pick, and you get him for 2 years, 3 years tops. Well, how long are you going to get him for? He's 32 years old.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point, though. I can't give up the farm for him. If he was the Julio Jones of 2 or 3 years ago, I would say you might, and you were one piece away, a 2 and a 4. Matt, it makes sense. I could see any of that. I would give up maybe a one with, and then, like Jeff said, a mid-round pick.
I think Atlanta is going to hold out till they get a one, and I think that they'll get it.
Rex Ryan, knowing the Rex Ryan that I saw coach the Jets, he had absolutely nothing to do with the Giants, holding the Giants down that day. I find it very hard to believe that the guy who coached the Jets has any football knowledge whatsoever in his head. But yes,
he was the defensive coordinator for the fucking Ravens.
Again, did you see him coach the Jets?
Maybe you could look that up for us while we're on the air.
But he was.
I believe he's right.
He's 100% right. He's 100% right. No way he's Julio Jones has a huge – yeah, yes, thank God for his huge wingspan. That's how many Super Bowls has he won with it? Another jerk of the world, Matt. Yeah, I got you. His wingspan. Yeah, what's his catch radius, Matt? Give me his – break down his catch radius for us. Another jerk of the world, yeah. Oh, and here's the funny part. Julio Jones comes out and says, Matt Ryan has anything left on his fastball. He's lost a little off his fastball. I want to go play with Cam Newton. Yeah, there it is. There's the guy you want throwing you the football. Cam Newton, Superman. Give it to me, Superman. Yeah, can't throw the ball 15 yards.
You know what that's
You know what it came out with, the Cam Newton football? You see it?
What is it, made of plastic?
No, it intercepts itself.
That's the Richard Todd.
That's the Richard Todd football. Intercepts itself.
Yeah.
Catch rate is amazing.
I believe the Cam Newton football goes about 15 feet.
I think, first of all, I still believe that Mac Jones is going to start up in New England. I really do. I don't think that they're going. It'll be a competition, but I think Mac Jones wins it. Not that I think Mac Jones is going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I think he's better. Yes. Stapleton, whatever that team was, for a football team was on Staten Island. I loved to have been alive when that was going on. Cam stinks. And Julio Jones.
Didn't Stapleton have a team in the NFL?
Yes,
like
absolutely. Right. Yeah, he was
idea,
just.
Yeah, but like in the 1910s or
yes,
something?
Yes, Staten Island Stapletons.
Yeah, it was when? Like so far along, I don't think there's anybody alive that went to any of their games.
No, again, we talked about it earlier. That doesn't exist. As far as the NFL concerned, if it didn't happen after the Super Bowl.
That didn't happen either.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, so. But, we'll break down a lot of football. But, yeah, I think if I'm Green Bay, and I mean this, it's the same in Seattle. Like, I think players, there's no reason in the world that Cam Newton, Russell Wilson should have any say on who's on their team. Now, if the team says, hey, we're thinking about these players, what's your thoughts? I get it. But to sit there and say, you're Deshaun Watson, you're Russell Wilson, you're Aaron Rodgers, and you want to say on who's on the team, I think it's asinine. Jeff, it's asinine that these guys want to have a say on the team because they're not professional scouts. You're not going
to
sit there.
Deshaun Watson has a team to talk about right now. He's just property of the Texans, but I'm not sure if he's even going to be able to touch a football.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think at this point, we've heard nothing. I mean, and he's not going to be deposed until, I think, February. So does he wind up
2022?
Yeah. So what does that do for this year? I mean, does the league allow him to play even though he's got all these allegations hanging over his head. So they,
how about the allegations of what Antonio Brown had against him, and it cost him 8 games?
Yeah.
And wow. And the NFL was in no rush to start investigating him. And it took how long before they started to investigate him?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a long time before they start investigating Deshaun Watson.
Correct. But
and,
so,
you know, even the NFL I'm talking about, we already know he ain't going to court till sometime in 2022 at the earliest.
Correct. So now does the league let him play while he's under investigation? I don't think he can.
I don't think, do they want him? Do you want him?
I don't know. That's the question.
What happens if you let him play and then he's found guilty of any of those crimes? What happens if you don't play him and he's found innocent of those crimes?
Again, I think it's all great points, but they have the commissioner's list where when you're suspended, you get put on it. So I think he still gets paid, but he's not allowed to participate with any of the team functions. And to me, listen,
in today's demographic, if he doesn't play and he's found innocent, they're going to march on the NFL.
I agree with Matt to a certain extent, but I haven't heard anything. Like, they haven't announced he's on the commissioner's list. They have not announced, you know, who's going to quarterback this year. I haven't seen the Texans make any real big moves based on it. So to me, the fact that this is quiet, I almost think they want this to quiet down and then sneak him in, although I don't think you can sneak him under the radar at this point.
No, I tell you this much. I bet you any amount of money that they probably banging their head against the wall someplace and like, why didn't we trade this fucking guy? Why didn't we trade him?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there's going to be if you're the Texans, you know, you had some serious offers. I'm sure that there were a lot of teams, including maybe the Jets, who were willing to part with a couple of first round picks to land him before this whole thing blew up. And now you're saying, Jesus, you'd be lucky to get a number six pick for this guy right now.
Number six pick. Right now, the Jets got to be fucking going to church every morning saying, thank God we didn't push this one.
Yeah.
I would have said, if the Jets would given up, okay, at the time, they would have had to give up at least 2 number one picks, which you know would have been a third because they could have thrown Seattle's that way.
Yeah.
And looked at it as they gave up one of their picks plus Jamal Adams to get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything would have been gone. Everything would have been gone.
100%. Leonard, good night, Bob. Thanks for stopping by. Talk to you soon. Anytime. Call anytime, brother. Call anytime. Again, Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and Tom here every Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30. Make sure, guys, on June the 12th, check out our friends from Black Sasquatch and So High at the Buzz Bin, 331 Cleveland Avenue, Canton, Ohio, on June the 12th. Get out to see our dear friends from the Black Sasquatch and So High. Zeke got suspended, you know, even though it was from college.
More importantly than those guys in Ohio.
Yep.
Is the next question that I have to ask.
Which is?
What about our people from Israel? Did our viewership in Israel go up?
Oh, you know, I could tell you if you want to know for sure. I can definitely tell you.
Sure, man. I'm kind of curious to see if it went up at all.
All right, hold on a second. Let me...
You know, one ill-placed bomb and it goes down.
Yeah, last week was at 9.2%, if I'm correct.
Something like that, yeah.
We are still at 9.21% of our viewers in Israel. France, 1.1%, and we are 0.9% of our viewership from Germany, 14.29% from Canada. So we are still hanging in there, Jeff. Israel, 9.21%. So our friends in Israel are sticking with us.
0.9% or 9%?
No, for Canada, it's 0.92%. 0.92 in Canada. Israel is 9.21%.
So almost 9.25%.
Yes, of our audience is in Israel.
Wow. That's heavy.
That's heavy, Jeff. I'm telling you. We're big in Israel. We're big in Israel. Got the Hard Rock and Sports Show. L'chaim.
How about this, if I can do this? I can hang them on the sides a little bit.
Well, guys, it's been nice being on the air with you guys for the last 7 years. I'm sure we'll be off the air at some point. But how about Italy? No, it doesn't show up on our screen. It doesn't seem like we have much of a following in Italy. Yeah, listen, if you're a team, Frank, and you can get him on the cheap and store him on your roster, it's not a bad idea. Why not? Right?
Well, but what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to get up to get Watson and all of the fucking circus that's going to come?
Would you give up a number three? Number
what
three.
What the fuck was that?
What's the matter?
It's just...
I'm not seeing anything. What are you talking about?
No, what you just did.
Oh.
It was just...
I don't know. Oh, rocking sports. You know what? Speaking of football, let's stay on football for five more minutes. I want to go through the online betting totals wins for the year for each team.
I like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I figure we're going to be, you're hitting the NFL low period. You got a couple weeks of the Giants do minicamp next week. I think the Jets, if Robert Saleh doesn't have any more excursions with the police, no way. You can't give a number one. Frank, there's no way in the world you can give a number one right now for him. Right, Jeff? You can't for Deshaun Watson.
Frank, do you take the chance of giving up a number one pick for somebody that may end up being in jail or just not allowed to play for God knows how long, tied up with legal battles? And how stupid you would look if you gave up that number one pick. Think about that.
Thanks, man.
That's what you got to think about, the long term of this one.
Yeah. Yeah, again, if he's found guilty of half of these things, he may never play football again.
No.
So that's why you can't.
How many people maybe, not for nothing. I mean, listen, I know it's the NFL. They're basically thugs with helmets and shoulder pads, some of them. But some of these guys may not want to even play with him because of what he's done. Or the possibility of what he's done.
Should say.
We don't know for sure if he's done it.
Absolutely. I would throw a life raft out there. A life ring out there and give a number three, number four pick for the guy, stash him on my roster, and if it works out, great. But I would never give up a number one for a guy who could be 2 years before he gets back out there. Oh, my God. Yes, you know what? Robert Saleh is the kind of guy I think who would go to Citi Field for a Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison concert. I think that's who.
No, he would not.
Yeah.
He goes to see.
He's high energy. He's high energy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the Muslims don't go after that.
My God. Let's do over and unders for football this year, Jeff. And Frank, I don't hang in there for a few more minutes, if you don't mind. Denver Broncos over under 8.5 wins for the season.
Under.
See, now I'm teetering on that one because I don't think the division's going to be as good. But I will
go. I'll tell you exactly why.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's the beginning of June. Mm-hmm. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. They're still praying to God and anybody that'll listen to them that they'll end up with fucking Aaron Rodgers, which has got to make Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater feel really good
at this
point in time.
I agree. I think it's an under season for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
and again, guys, we'll do this again a couple more times before the season starts, but I wanted to have a little bit of fun tonight. Jeff, over under 9 wins for the New Orleans Saints.
Under.
Yeah, it's a definite under for me. Yeah, I think
another team that has no quarterback.
Yeah.
No true quarterback right now.
Yep.
And has too many questions.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Here's an interesting one. Over under 11.5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Under.
Under,
and I'll tell you why, because they're still talking about Brady, and they're saying that his knee, that he's going to be very limited.
I still put them up there as one of the better teams in the division, but I agree. I think they're a 10-win team.
I think I'm going out on a limb, and I'm going to say this is the year that Brady starts to break down, and I think they're using his knee issues as a problem to soften the blow.
Okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting one. I'm going to agree with you. I think they're a 10-win team. They may even win 11, but I think the 11.5 makes me go under. On the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jeff, the Kansas City Chiefs, you're right. You know what, Matt? Matt's got a great point, Jeff. I'm not taking into account it's 17 games this year. That is an interesting thought. You know what, Matt? I'm going to change my tune on the Tampa Bay Bucs, and I'm going to go over because I think they'll get to 11 wins. I think they're to 12 wins. They're a 12-5 team.
These totals are based on a 17-game season.
I agree with you.
Based on 17 games.
Oh, no. That's, I agree with you there. I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking 16 games. So, okay, we're going to go under, over 12.5 wins Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going under.
I'm going to go under, too.
Yeah, until somebody proves me differently, the team that loses the Super Bowl has not recovered for a while. The Rams haven't recovered.
Kansas, Kansas City is just too good of a team.
Why? You could say that, but I want to see it done. The 49ers, the Rams, you know, there's been a hold.
I understand what you're saying, okay. But I just can't see you putting the Rams and 49ers in the same class as the Chiefs.
No, again, I'm not saying they are, but I'm 12 and a half wins. I'm not going for – I'm going to I'm agreeing with you, but until somebody steps up and comes back from the Super Bowl loss, the Falcons didn't do it, the Panthers haven't done it, the Rams haven't done it, 49ers, I can go back the last seven or eight winners, losers, and they haven't done it. So let's go Kansas City 12-13 wins. Wow, good. Well, Patrick, okay. I know a team that won a Super Bowl and can't recover. The Jets, yeah, it's 50-something years. You're right. You're 100% right, Matt. Thanks, Frank. Good job, buddy. Good job. Seattle.
Hold on, wait.
Go ahead.
Hold on. You're in such a rush.
Listen, we got a lot of show to do. We got a lot of stuff to do on the show.
I've said it on the air. I'm not going to change my mind on that one.
So what?
That's probably the most important game of all time.
Tommy Florio talking about Super Bowl III.
Nobody's saying that it wasn't an important game.
Tommy Florio talking about Super Bowl III. That's all I have to say.
Listen, Matt, I like Mahomes as much as anybody does. But what you saw last year was he came back down to earth when he didn't have people around him. Now, should he have a better team? I agree with you. Again, I want to see them step back up and play as well this year and get back to the Super Bowl again. I don't think they're going to. I'm picking them not to get back to the Super Bowl this year. I picked them to win the Super Bowl last year, bet them to win the Super Bowl this year. They didn't do it, but I think they'll step back. Seattle Seahawks, Jeff, over under 9.5. Tough
over.
One for me.
Over.
I
think I could see them getting about nine wins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's how I see it, but. You know, that makes them a 9-8 season. So again, with the 17 games, it's throwing me off. I'm going to give them an over on this one. I'm going to skip the local teams and bring them for last. Jeff, Pittsburgh Steelers over under 8.5 wins.
Ooh, that's tough. Under.
I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh takes a major step back this year. I think Big Ben was a shell last year. I think Tomlin did wonders with nothing, and I don't see him doing it again. I think that division's gotten better. I think Cincinnati's going to be better this year. Cleveland's going to be better this year. The Ravens, I'm not a big fan of, but I think they're still a better team. I think the Pittsburgh may wind up fourth in that division this year.
That's very, very possible. I don't know if they're going to squeak out past Cincinnati.
They might.
I think Cincinnati is still fourth until next year.
You're very possible, but I think they're going to be in a rough. I think they're in for a rough season this year. Pittsburgh, Miami Dolphins.
I agree with that.
Miami Dolphins over under 9 wins.
Over.
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, I think Miami is a better team. I'm going to agree with you. I think Miami's an over. Chargers, Jeff, over under. Over nine wins.
I'm going to say around 9, so I'm going to go under because I think that it's Kansas City's division. But
yeah.
I think they're definitely improved, but I figure them to be 9 to 10 wins. So I'm going to go under.
Okay. New England Patriots over 9 wins. Under 9 wins.
Under.
No, I think they're going to go over 9 wins this year.
With everything they spent, they still don't have – they drafted a quarterback, but you don't know if he's going to be the right quarterback. And Cam Newton, we know what he did last year.
I agree with you a lot of that. I just think that they have – getting back a bunch of guys. Now, I'm not a huge fan of paying for all these free agents and putting the whole team together and trying to make it work. I just think Bill's going to find a way to get to 9-10 wins this year. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to do major damage in the playoffs. I still think that the AFC is a little weak and they'll feast on it a little bit. But I'm going to pick the Patriots over 9 wins.
If the Patriots don't go to the playoffs this year, does Belichick retire?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer to that is yes. I think to a certain extent, this may be it for Bill. I think you know, had if they have go out there, and obviously if they think they win a Super Bowl, you may see the end of him moving upstairs. I don't think he's retiring. I think he's moving upstairs. But I think if they come out and they win five or six games again, you know, I think that's a very good possibility that we see the last of Bill on the sidelines.
Possible.
Yeah, Houston Texans over under 4.5 wins.
Under.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is probably the number one team in the draft next year. There's a couple other candidates. But Houston Texans under 4.5 wins. Carolina Panthers, Jeff, over 7.5.
Under
is right. I agree with that 100%. This team is still in the build. I don't understand some of their moves in the offseason, but okay, well, San Francisco 49 is over under 10.5.
I don't know. I got to go under. I think I peg them around 10 if everything goes right. I see them around 10, but everything has to fall into place, and they have to be pretty much perfect, I think, to hit 10. I just can't say over.
Okay. Detroit Lions, Jeff, over under 5 wins.
I'll go over with that.
Yeah, I think
I see them for around 6.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the division's not that great. I think they can sneak a couple wins with Chicago. You got the Vikings. I don't think it's going to be a great team. Packers depends, you know, Rodgers, no Rodgers. So let's move down to Lions. The Jacksonville Jaguars over under 6.5.
Under.
Yeah, I agree. I said it last week, and you guys can write this down. I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to wind up being a bust. And it's if you read the Sports Illustrated article on Trevor Lawrence, and he basically comes out and says, if we win, we lose, you know, his attitude is, if we lose and I play well, I've done everything I can. And to me, that's not a pro quarterback. I think the guy gets one serious injury, you may never see him play again. So I'm saying...
I'm not a big fan of his build. He looks way too skinny for me. You know what I mean? I'm kind of happy. I mean, but don't get me wrong. Look at the guy that the Jets got. He looks like he's still in fucking high school playing football. But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, the guy's like, what, 6'5", 6'6"? It looks like he weighs 190 pounds. You know, like, what happens? A couple good hits. Does he even know where he is?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm going to base it strictly on his attitude. Read the Sports Illustrated article on Trevor Lawrence. And it's to me, as a guy who's played, coached, watched, loved football his whole life, that's a guy who just doesn't care.
225, but he's 6'6", right? 6'5", 6'6"?
Something like that. Yeah, I would say. I mean, listen.
I think that's kind of thin.
Listen, I think he's I'd say that he's a semi-tough kid. We'll see how it lays out in the NFL.
You know what? Not for nothing. Look at the way that Roethlisberger is built. 6'5", 6'6", 245. Cam Newton's another big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence can't play in this league, but I just feel as though, you know, with 300-pounders looking to jump on you every play, 225 and 6'6 is maybe a little frail. It's possible. I know he could still gain a little weight. He's still kind of young.
Sure.
He could put on, but what could he put on? Maybe another 10, 15 pounds?
Again, yeah.
Do you see him even getting that high?
Yeah, he could. I mean, they'll get in there and working out. I mean, the teams just don't work out in the offseason like they want, but... Again, I'm going to give him a chance to get out there. I mean, they do have the dynamo.
Yeah,
if
he gains another 20 pounds, people are going to start saying he's on roids.
Yeah. Let's run through this quick. Atlanta Falcons over under 7.5.
Under.
Yeah, easy under on that one. I do both respectfully to say he doesn't care is a bold statement. He is going to be very good. Matt, read the article. And when he lost to Ohio State, he came out and said, hey, I woke up and said, hey, I played as well as I could. There's nothing I can do about it. That's not the attitude my quarterback needs to have, especially one going into the NFL to play for a very bad team. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you that he's going to be out of the league in a year. I'm telling you he's not good. I don't believe he's going to be the quarterback people think he's going to be. Maybe on a different team that goes out there and wins early. I'm telling you.
Listen, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to go on to the Jacksonville Jaguars and become a very good
quarterback. I'm not disagreeing with
that's
that.
A team that's historically bad for years and needs a lot of help. And with Urban Meyer, I don't know.
Yeah, again, bringing in these big time college coaches to run NFL teams does not always work. It hasn't worked very well. So let's see how it plays out. I'm just telling you, as a football guy, Matt, read the Sports Illustrated article on Trevor Lawrence and tell me it doesn't change your opinion a little bit on his mentality. And that's part of this. When you're going to go to a team that's not going to be good for a couple of years, I think that's a big thing. Indianapolis coach Jeff, over under 10 wins.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, so you think Carson Wentz is making a big difference out in Indianapolis?
I think Frank Reich is going to make a big difference with Carson Wentz, who's going to help Indianapolis get to 11 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Okay, fair enough. Jeff, the Arizona Cardinals over under 8 wins.
Over.
I think
a lot of people haven't really given Kyler Murray and Kingsbury enough credit. I remember watching them last year. To me, they were a very fun team to watch. I see them taking the next step this year.
All right. I like your thought process. Minnesota Vikings over under 9 wins.
Under.
I disagree.
This is a team that's a little bit on the decline.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think that's a good point. Los Angeles Rams over under 10.5 wins.
You know, I don't understand why everybody's saying that the Rams are a potential Super Bowl team. I don't see that only because I don't thoroughly believe in Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
I do think I'm going to go over because I think that he's going to get to about 10 wins. I don't see him going past 10.5 wins.
Okay.
But how can you go past 10.5 wins?
You have to go to 11. You have to go to 11, yeah.
I don't see that, but I could see them hitting 10 wins.
All right, so you got him on the under. The Las Vegas Raiders, Jeff, over under 7 wins.
Only because of their number one fan, I'm going under.
I agree. I think it's an under. I don't think that team's gotten a lot better. I think Gruden...
Well, I think they're going under the bar, Tom.
Yes, so to speak.
So to speak. Yes.
Yes. Philadelphia Eagles over under 6.5 wins.
Under.
I agree with that. I think they're going to be the worst team and might still be the worst division this year. I'm not sure. I think the division might be a little better.
I think they're going to be the worst team in that division.
I agree with that. That I agree with 100%. The Redskins, otherwise known as the Washington football team, over under 8 wins, which would put them an 8-9 team.
Over.
See, I disagree. Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Game, but I'm going to say over.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback?
Yeah, I think that their defense is good.
Wait,
I think
breaking news. We have breaking news. Patrick said that Robert Saleh got another police escort to the Islander game.
No, he didn't say that.
I'm reading between the lines.
They just showed Saleh at the Islander game.
I'm reading between the lines. Robert Saleh, I can see it tomorrow morning. Headlines. Jet douchebag coach.
Tomorrow morning, that's another story. But right now, that's not what the story
Jet douchebag coach has another escort to Islander game. Didn't know they played hockey.
Okay.
What a douchebag. Now he's got state troopers going to Long Island,
well,
Jeff.
It doesn't say anything about those state
I'm reading between the lines.
Please post the article.
I'm reading between the lines, Jeff.
Please post the article that backs up.
What a douchebag! He's got to get police escorts now for the Knicks. He's like, you know what? And he's also like, think about it. The Knicks lost when he was there. Now the Islanders are going to wind up losing. He's like a mush. He's a mush.
Well, here's the thing.
He's been rained on in the Jet mushiness of cloud.
These guys are all watching the Islander game.
I'm not watching. I get my information.
But you know a lot about it.
Well, because my friends here.
Do we get going? Meanwhile, they have no idea.
Patrick, I know there's an escort. You're being kind, Patrick. It's okay. It's all right. Be kind. It's all right. Washington football team is not winning 8 games, not with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But we'll move on. Chicago Bears, Jeff.
The Washington Redskins are going to win that division.
Every time he says stuff, he just deepens the vile of his goat. Go watch the Rangers on. Yeah. All right, Matt.
Was he a Devils fan? This guy?
No, he's an Islander fan. Could you imagine anybody's an Islander fan? I didn't even know the Islanders had fans. I just know people showed up and watched it. Went to the wrong building. free tickets to get in to see the team.
Build it, they will come kind of thing.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. Patrick, try not, but I love Patrick. Yes, Salah is a diva already. Yes, Cowboys have the best quarterback in the division. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did they just sign Eli? That's right, the Giants win the division. Thank you, thank you, Matt. Chicago Bears.
I agree. Dak may be the best fucking quarterback.
Oh
in that
my God, Dak. Dak's not even. He's not even the. If he was in a phone booth, he wouldn't even be the best quarterback there.
Who?
Dak. You're kidding me, Dak. Dak has done nothing. Nothing. $40 million. Good job. Good job. I pray, dear Lord, hold on, dear God, please let Jerry Jones live a very, very long time and be the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys for as long as possible. Because that way I'll know they'll never win another Super Bowl. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I pray to God every day.
Meanwhile, fucking Gettleman fucking wins 15 games in like 7 years.
Gettleman has turned. We have turned the corner, Jeff. The Giants are winning the division this year.
But little did they tell you, they fucking turned the car around and went back around the corner. They just went around.
Jeff, the Cleveland Browns, Jeff, over on the 10.5 wins.
Over.
The Baltimore Ravens over on the 10.5 wins. Under. Thank you. Buffalo Bills over under 11. That's a tough one.
Hold on. Not so fast there, King Wasabi.
Yes.
Okay. The Baltimore Ravens said that they're going to put Lamar Jackson under center a lot more this year.
Why? What's the point of that?
I'm just telling you what I heard on NFL.
Wow.
The NFL Network today.
Smokescreen?
They were talking about it, that they said that they're going to put him under center more than they have in previous years.
Mike Gambo, I would sign up for Belichick becoming the Giants GM tomorrow. I love Gettleman, but if Belichick became available, I'd take Belichick tomorrow. I love
him. I would hope that Belichick got pissed that the Giants beat the Patriots and he dismantles the team.
No chance.
So that'd be great. I hope that's why, and I hope he has like a tumor in the front lobe of his brain, and he can't think right, and he trades everybody away for mid-round draft picks. Barkley for a fifth rounder. That'd be great.
I think the Baltimore Ravens thing is bizarre to me. I mean, the guy's proven he can't throw the football, and yet, you know, place him on the center and limit his ability to see the defense and improvise. I think it's a mistake. But
I agree with you. That's why they're going to get a new quarterback next year. Jones is going to be shot, and the Giants will draft a new quarterback next year.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Oh, you weren't talking about the Giants?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, we're talking about the Giants. Jeff, can we do the Buffalo Bills over on the 11 wins?
This could be a 12 to 13 win team, I think.
I agree with that. I think they've gotten better and better, and the division's not
I also think they're going to top out this year, by the way.
Yes, I think this may be one of those years they need to win because, yes, I think you get a 3-4 year run at it, and then you're going to start all over again.
What I mean by top out is just that I don't see this team winning 12 or 13 games this year, 14 or 15 games next year.
Yeah, I think you've hit their peak.
I think if they win 12 or 13 this year that they've achieved – that is a team, and they're going to be a 12- or 13-year team for the next couple of years and then slowly back down.
Yeah, Frank, the low point of Bill Belichick's career when he was the HC of the NYJ Jets, that was the low point of Bill's career, and he coached in Cleveland. Imagine that. He ran away from the Jets to go coach Cleveland. No, it was the opposite. He ran away from them to go to New England. I was just trying to have some fun with that one. Okay, Cincinnati Bengals over under 6.5. That's a close one for me. I think they could be a 7-win team, but I'm going to go over on that. Dallas Cowgirls over under 9.5.
Oh my god.
They could be over and under if they played the vibrating football game.
Listen, Elliot,
they couldn't win 9 games.
You have Elliot.
Oh yeah, you start so much.
Yeah, you have Elliot as running back. Oh. You got Dak as the quarterback. You have the brain trust over there.
Oh, okay? And I know they'll be successful. I hope they're as successful as ever as long as Jerry Jones stays in there. If he dies, I hope they nail him to like a chair and prop him up And every year they just wheel him out and just keep letting him make the decisions. Because he couldn't make any more worse decisions if he was dead. Because he's already brain dead. But let's keep Tennessee Titans over under 9 wins. And I saved the best for last, Hefe.
I'm going under.
The New York Football Jets over under 6.5 wins.
Under.
I agree with that. I think well under six.
I don't say well under six. I think they're going to 4-6 win.
Well, let's hope that Robert Saleh shows up because you know he may be going to other games and with his police escort and not be at the Jet games. So who knows?
Okay,
Mr. High Energy.
Let's do the Giants.
Ah, let me scroll back up. I skipped over the Giants because I wanted to save them for last.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I want to save them. Ah, this is an easy one. Okay. New York Football Giants. Over under 7 wins. Double.
Way under.
Double.
Way under.
Double over.
Way under.
The Giants will win 10 games this year.
The
division.
Uninterrupted. I don't want you to look off to the side.
I won't say a word.
I want you to tell me why they're going to win 10 games, and then I'm going to tell you why they're not. So go ahead.
I think they have the best defense in that division.
Enough. Thank you. Now for the reason why they're going to suck.
Good, please.
Gentlemen.
That's it?
Gettleman, that's it. I blame everything on fucking Gettleman.
Oh, boy, Lou Pinkett. No way. Mike, I'm sorry. The Giants are going to take two from the Eagles, two from the Redskins. They'll split with the Cowboys. So right off the bat.
Crack?
Huh?
Patrick, do you smoke crack?
Patrick, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Patrick. I'm with Patrick on that 100%.
The only way the New York Giants are going to win 10 games this year is if somebody's grandson or kid or nephew or whatever uses them on fucking Madden and plays the season.
Giants, 10 wins, a first-round playoff win, and a build 2 years Super Bowl champs.
My God.
We got the best defense in the division.
Oh, God, I'm getting sick. Just
our receiving core is as good as anybody's, if not better. Their defense. Danny Dimes is going. Danny Dimes is a monster this year. I'm telling you, I think I'm agreeing with Patrick. 10 wins, easy. We may be cruising to 11 wins this year. I'm going to say 10 wins.
The New York Giants will not be able to win 10 wins. Will not get 10 wins unless you're going to add up the wins from last year.
We have, listen, just in the division, I can tell you right now they could get easy 6 wins. They have a better defense.
You think they're going to sweep their division?
I think they can. They can.
I think they can.
Because, I'll tell you why. They have the best secondary in that division. You got 3 quarterbacks who suck, especially in Philly and Washington. Those guys ain't winning games over there. No way. And the Washington defense, it's a good one. No doubt about it. The defensive line. They have a good defensive line. The Giants will win 10 games.
I think they will sweep the Eagles. I think they will split with the Redskins. And I think they're going to get swept by the Cowboys.
Oh, my God. You're a crack.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they get swept by themselves.
I think holding in the poop has the methane has got to your brain from the inside. And it's melted it.
No, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
I'm telling you, you're on crack.
I've been letting out little squirts of methane here and there.
The Giants, you're getting Barkley back, okay? They got more weapons. Galladay.
Okay, all right, well, stop right there.
There we go.
But you're getting
there
Barkley
go.
Back. Go ahead. Roll your eyes.
Here we go.
Here's a man that's gotten hurt there every year he's been on the team.
There we go.
Okay, it's coming time. Do they pick up his option or not?
No.
You can go back and see.
I don't want them to pick up the option. I hope they don't pick up his option.
Boy, he's this is a gold jacket.
He's going to get a gold jacket. He's a gold jacket.
Now you don't want him on the team. You know what? I hope the Giants let him walk and the Redskins get him or the Eagles get him.
Yeah.
And now there's 2 elite running backs in that division. That's what I hope.
Oh, you're saying that you still think Ezekiel Elliott's an elite back in that division?
Compared to what the Giants have, you don't get injured every year.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
So I would say, yeah.
Oh, how many Super Bowls does your boy Zeke Elliott have? Nice. He's your boy now. That's it. I'm officially.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take him. How many Super Bowls? Let me ask you something. How many full seasons does Saquon Barkley have?
2.
Full seasons?
2.
No. He already missed games in every season.
Okay.
So that's not full seasons.
All right. I'm telling you, Giants, 10 wins minimum playoff win. Going to love every
Danny
time.
Dimes is colorblind. He's going to be trying to
Danny Dimes is going to be elite this year. Elite. He's got tons of weapons.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
tons
I'm here.
Of weapons.
I can't believe when I'm here.
Tons of weapons.
I really can't believe I'm here. You know,
tons
you see where it says you're watching the Hard Rock and Sports?
Yeah.
Co-host Jeff and Tommy?
Yeah.
You're losing viewership in fucking Israel.
No, nope, Israel's still sticking
between
with me.
Between the war and the stuff that you're saying,
yeah.
You're chasing them out of there. One, two, three. Okay? That's one thing. Second, okay?
Yeah.
This is a team that has had no sustained success in the last couple of years, and now all of a sudden going to become a fucking juggernaut. Impossible. Huh. Impossible. This is a sad-ass team.
This, Broncos have 5 wins in the division. We beat the Jets. We beat the Giants. We beat the boys. That's right, 8-0. And the Jags, you're saying the Jags are getting 9 wins, Frank? I got to come to the house to check for a guest.
He's saying that the Broncos have 5 wins in the division.
Yeah.
Then he's saying that they're going to beat the Jets and the Giants. Then they're going to beat the Cowboys. That's 8 right there. Then the Jaguars, that's 9. Patrick, I am sorry what I said to you before. It is quite evident that Frank is smoking crack as well as shoe polish and dog piss.
Frank, I need you to immediately hang up, go outside with your cell phone, call 911. There's a gas leak in your house.
Yeah.
Please, Frank, don't hesitate. Don't turn on the gas anywhere. Don't light any matches. Run right outside. Call the fire department and have them check for the slow gas leak because I think you're smoking crack. I think there's a gas leak affecting your brain. Never happened, Frank. No way your team gets to 9 wins this year. No chance in the world, Jeff. Giants 10 wins. Jets 3 wins.
If they had a decent quarterback situation, maybe. But, I mean, this is what's – Frank, I'm sorry. How the fuck was a team – any team with John Elway involved can't find a quarterback?
That's a good point.
I do not understand that. How does that work? Shouldn't this guy be able to tell a quarterback from, like, with his eyes closed, facing the other way and being across the street?
You would think.
I mean, come on.